From the start of Medrash and Eicha, what we were speaking about last night, and he says the following story. I started it last night, but I didn't really get into it. Maisha de Miriam bas Nachtom. The story of Miriam, the daughter of Nachtom, who was captured with her seven children. And the Caesar, the Caesar, took each child and put him in a separate room. Divide and conquer. He figured if he divides the children from their mother, it would be very easy to get these Jewish children to give up Judaism and serve the Avodah Zarah. But as we said last night, he didn't understand that he was dealing with Jewish children. And the Medrash says as follows. Hevi as Harishon, he brought the first child, the first son. She had seven sons. And he said, I want you to bow down to this tzelem, to this Avodah Zarah, to this idol. Amalo, the young man said to him, Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom, ani mishtachav v'tzelem. God forbid that I should bow down to an Avodah Zarah. Amalo, he said to him, Lama, why won't you bow down to my Avodah Zarah? And he answered, "B'nei shekach k'sivet ha'raseinu," because it says in the Torah, "Anoichi Hashem aleikecha, I am Hashem your God." Miyad haitziu v'haragoi, the Romans took him out, and they killed the first child, the oldest one. Haitzi Hasheni, they brought the second one in. V'amalai yishtachav el atzalem, and he said, "Bow down to my Avodah Zarah, amalai." The young man answered, Chas v'shalom. Achi lo yishtachava. I hear my brother didn't bow down. V'ani eini mishtachava. And I will not bow down. Amalo lama. Why won't you bow down? Amalo shikach sibatara. Don't you know it says in our Torah, lo yiyah lecha lekim acheron apanai. You're not allowed to have any other gods. Miyad gazar olav harguhu. Immediately they took him out, the second son, and they killed him. Haiti Ashlishi, they brought out the third son, Bo'amalo, and they said to him, Yishtachav el atzelem, bow down to this Avodah Zarah, Amalo, Eini Mishtachav. He said, I'm not going to bow down. Amalo, Lama, why won't you bow down? Amalo, Shekosim HaTorah, it says in Torah, Kilo Tishtachav el Kel Acher, you're not allowed to bow down to any other gods. Miyad Gaza Olova Harguru, immediately they decreed and they killed him. They took the fourth son of Omar, Sukei, and they said the same thing. They said, bow down, why won't you bow down? And he quoted the Pasuk, Tevayach Eloki Micharam. Gazar Allah Vergu, they killed the fourth one, they brought the fifth one. And they said, bow down to this Salam, and he said, no. And they said, why? And he said, it's a Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And they took him out and they killed him. Haiti Ashishi, they took out the sixth son. And they said to him, bow down to this idol. And he said, no. And they said, why not? And he said, because Hashem is your God. He is amongst you. Kil gadol v'noira, a great God and a fearsome God. Gadol Allah v'gugu, and they killed the sixth son. And there was only one little child left. Haiti Hashvi. They took out the seventh son. And he was the youngest of all of them. Omar, the king said to him, he figured, the other six I couldn't get, but if I'm very friendly and very nice to this little boy, I'll get him to bow down. Omar, Bini, my son, the king called him my son. Hishtachav el atzelem, bow down to my idol. This little boy, Omar, said to him, Chas v'shalom. He said, Chas v'shalom, I would never do such a thing. Omar, lo, he said to him, Lama, why not? So this little boy, Amalo, said to him, it says in our Torah, V'yadata hayom, you will know that day, V'ashivaysa l'uvecha k'yashamu elokim ha'shamayim imam, You will know, you will return. You will do tshuva. Klaus will do tshuva. They will know on that day that Hashem is our God in the Shemayim and in the Aretz. Ein od. There is no other God. And he went on to give this king, this Caesar, to give him a little Muslim. And he said, "Lo od, not only that, we swore to our God that we would never go away from him. We would never leave him and go to another God, as it says in the Pasuk. As Hashem Hamata Hayom. And just like we, Klai Yisrael, swore to Hashem that we will never change Hashem for another God. We will never give him up for anything in the world. He also swore to us that he would never give us up for any other nation. As it says, Hashem ha'emircha hayom. This is what he told the king. When I learned this, I was in amazement. Girls, this is Adar. This is Adar. And Hashem destroyed the Beis Hamikdash in this Adar, in this generation. And this is the level that the children in that generation were on. What should we say about our generation? So he turned to this little boy. Amalei HaKesa, the Caesar said to him, Achecha, your brother is Shavu Yavim, Shavu Chayim, Ro, Taiva. Your brothers are all old guys. 19, 20, 15, 17, 21. They already had some life. They already had some fun. They already enjoyed themselves. Va'ata, but you, Katan, you little boy. Loisavata Yamin. You didn't have any good days. You're a little kid. Loisavata Chayim. You didn't have life. Balebi Isatoa Ba'ilamin. You didn't have fun. Your brothers had fun. You didn't have fun. Bow down to my idol, and I will give you whatever you want. Cell phone, iPod, whatever you need. Whatever you want. Just bow down to this cell. This little boy looked at the Caesar, at the king. What a kiddush Hashem. Amalai, he said, don't you know what it says in our Torah? It says, Hashem yimlech le'elam v'ed. It says, God will be the king forever. It says, Hashem melech olam va'ed. Obdu goyim me'artzai, Hashem will destroy and wipe out the goyim from his land. Ba'ata b'teilim, and you king, you will be wiped out. Ba'oyvav b'teilim, and Hashem's enemies and the Jews' enemies will be wiped out. B'karay. Vasa b'dayim hayom chai, you are a human being. Today you're alive, ulamacha meis. Tomorrow you will die. Hayayim ashir, today you are rich, ulamacha ani. Tomorrow you will be poor. Avakarj baruchu chay v'kayim la'ilam alayli alamim. But God will live forever. Amalei Kesar, the Caesar said to him, Re'ei achecha harugim lefanecha. Let me open the door and show you where your brothers are. And there on the floor, says the Medrash, were the six bodies of his brothers. And the Caesar said, go look at your brothers, look at their dead bodies. But I'll do you a favor. I will throw my ring on the floor, in front of the Avodah Zarah, and raise it and lift it. Because you're making me look bad in front of everyone. Here I am, and your six brothers all give up their lives, and I figured at least a small little Jewish kid, I could talk him into serving Avodah Zarah, and now you're giving me a whole shmooze and a whole speech, and you're making me look bad. Listen, I'm just going to throw my ring on the floor, just pick it up, so that the people will think that you bow down to the idol. Amalo. He said to the Kesar, if you are scared of what people think, you're scared that people think that I'm making you look bad. You're scared about what human beings think? Don't you think I should be scared of God, who's the king of the whole world, what he thinks? And he said to him, is there a God in this world? The Kesar, which we'll say soon, he says to him, where is your God? How come you let me kill your six brothers? And he answered him, what do you think this world is, Hefker? You think this world just happened? You believe in evolution? He said the little boy. And the little boy said the following. And he said, your gods, they have a mouth. But Amalek wrote, Pelahem Leidaber, they have a mouth, but they do not speak. Your gods have eyes. They have eyes, but they do not see. Your gods have ears. They have ears, but they do not hear. Your gods have hands, but they do not feel. Your gods have feet, but they do not walk. Your gods have throats, but they do not talk. But my God, he runs the world. He is not like your gods. Oh my Lord, the Kesar said to him, something that I have heard the Goyim say to us. If your God, Hashem, can do anything, why can't he save you from my hands? Like he saved Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah from the Nebuchadnezzar. So the Caesar was challenging this kid. He was trying to rip out his emunah. And he said, if your God is so great, this God that you're talking about, so why is he allowing me to do this to you? Many times I've been asked, Rabbi Wallerstein, we're supposed to be the chosen nation. One of the people that I do business with was not Jewish, said, I'd rather not be a chosen nation. Look what happened to you guys. You lost 6 million Jews. Is that a chosen nation? You have a little country called Israel that everybody wants a piece of. Is that a chosen nation? Look at all the other nations in the world. Nobody wants a piece of them. No one's interested in having them. There's this little strip of land. Everybody wants it. They blow your children up in buses. You're hated amongst the nations. Where's your God? Where's this chosen nation? And this is what this king said. And he said, so, how come Hashem's not saving you like he saved Hanani, Mishael, Azariah? And the little boy turned and he said, I am not kosher. I am not on the level that they were on. And you are not even on Nebuchadnezzar's level. Nebuchadnezzar, who was as big a Russia as he was, Daniel was his advisor. And he knew that there was a Hashem, and he admitted that there was a Hashem. He said, you don't even admit that there's a Hashem. And therefore, God will not do any miracles for me, and he definitely will not do any miracles in front of you. He says, and if you don't kill me, Hashem has many messengers. He has bears and lions and snakes, scorpions, many ways to kill me. You're just a shliach, you're nothing. Okay, so therefore the king said, you give me no choice, and I'm Gazar, I decree to have this little boy killed. Amalai Imai. So the mother got up, and she came to the Kesar, to the Caesar, and she said, give me my son, just let me hug him, let me kiss him. And she began to nurse him. And we'll see from the Navi, and we'll see from the Echa how old he was. She began to nurse him. And she said, please, I beg you, my king, kill me first. And then kill my child. But I don't want to see my child be killed. Just to show you how the Goyim knew how to learn. He turned to her and said, no! I would never go against your Torah. It says in the Torah that if you're slaughtering a lamb or an ox, you're not allowed to slaughter the mother and the child in one day. So I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to have me slaughter you first. And then I won't be able to slaughter your son because I'm not allowed to slaughter you and your son on the same day. Arulo. So this woman turned to the Kesar and she said, Shaita, you idiot. Shaita Shabbalam, you fool. Did you keep all the other mitzvahs in our Torah? That this is the last mitzvah that you want to keep? You think that's why I told you not to kill my child first? And the Kesar had no rachmanis. And he commanded that the baby be killed, the child be killed. And he killed the child in front of his mother. She already had lost her six other sons. And she took her little baby in her hand and she hugged him and she kissed him. For Amalo, and she said to his body, B'ni, my son, lech etzel Avraham avichem. Go to Avraham, your father, and tell him that your mother says that you, Avraham Avinu, who built the Mizbeach, and on that Mizbeach, you put your son Yitzchak and brought him as a sacrifice. I am much greater than you, Avraham Avinu. I built seven mizbechos. I sacrificed seven children in one day. And they took the baby out of her arms. And the Chachamim said on this child, he was 2 years old, 6 months, 6.5 hours old. And the Goyim who saw this, who were standing there, began to cry. And they said, Ma Elohim Shel Elu, who is the God of these people? Shekach Nehargim Olah B'chol Shah, that every moment they're being killed. And he let the mother go free. After a few days, she couldn't handle it anymore. She became a sugar. And she jumped off the roof and she died. And that's what Yirmiyahu says in Perek Tesva, Pasik Tes. Umulayuledes Hashiva. And as she fell to her death, says the Medrash Eicha, Ubasko Yoytzeis. And a voice from Shemayim came out of Oimeres and said, Ein habanim simecha. The mothers of this children, you can be happy. Ruach HaKodesh tovachas v'oimres. And Ruach HaKodesh came out and said, Al elen bochia. On this woman and her seven children, I cry. Klai Yisrael, this was a generation that didn't deserve to have the Beis HaMikdash. And look how holy they were. What are we going to say? How many of our children know those psukim that these seven children quoted? How many of our children are proud, like this little boy was? How many of the children know the Melech Machle HaMolchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was a generation that was destroyed. What are we going to say? In the kinnis this morning, there's one kinnah that's the most authentic kinnah. It's kinnah Yud Aleph. Those are the articles, page 188. Where Yirmiyahu Hanavi speaks on the King Yoshiyahu. Let me tell you a little bit about the King Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu's grandfather was a very big Rasha. His name was Menashe. Menashe planted Avodah Zarah in every corner of the kingdom. He even put an Avodah Zarah in the Kodesh Kedoshim, destroyed Klal Yisrael totally. Amon, the son of Menashe, for 2 years continued in the way of his father, but he was killed by the palace guards. And he had a son, Menashe's grandson, Yoshiyahu, who was 8 years old when he became king. So much there was no Torah in Klal Yisrael that Yoshiyahu had never seen a Sefer Torah. And I think it was 10 years after he became king, he was 18 years old, he still had not seen a Sefer Torah. And they found the Sefer Torah, they discovered a Sefer Torah, which had been hidden for generations since the time of Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu. For a long time, Klal Yisrael was off the derech. And he opened up the Chumash, the Sefer Torah, and it opened up to the Teichacha. And what he saw in the Teichacha, it said, Oror, Asher Le'yakim is Dere, Torah is Lasses, Eisam, cursed is the person who doesn't keep the Torah. And he became very, 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 very scared. And he made a massive assembly of all the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And he said, I found the treasure, it's called the Torah. And they all decided together that they're going to keep the Torah with all their heart and soul. And Yoshiyahu appointed spies and agents to go out through Eretz Yisrael and to destroy all the Avodah Zarah. And every Avodah Zarah that they saw, they destroyed. And he was very excited and he was very happy. And he figured that he had changed the whole Klal Yisrael. But he didn't go inside the houses, a huge mistake. And he didn't know what was going on inside the houses of Klal Yisrael. There was an Avodah Zarah that was put on the inside of the door, and there were double doors. And if you close both doors together, both halves of the Avodah Zarah came together, and that's how they were serving the Avodah Zarah from inside the houses. But he was very happy, he did not know about this. And he figured that Klal Yisrael was doing very well. At that time, in Egypt, there was a king, his name was Necho. And he said, I want to go through Eretz Yisrael to war against Assyria. And Yeshayahu, who thought that everything was doing great in Eretz Yisrael, he said, let it bring down by Yikra, that no sword will pass through Eretz Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael is doing good, nobody will be allowed to go through Eretz Yisrael with a sword. And therefore he told the Egyptians, he told this king, that he cannot come through Eretz Yisrael. But Yirmiyahu at that time, who was the Navi, sent the message to the king, and he said, Klal Yisrael is not what you think they are. Let Paro go through. But he didn't listen. He had illusions of total perfection of the Jewish people. He ignored the Navi. And this was a fatal mistake. And he went against the Goyim. And he thought for sure Hashem would be with him. And I want to read you from inside a little bit. Nun. They warned him, turn back, don't go to war. Klal Yisrael is not what you think they are. And they came across each other, the Jews against these Egyptians. He needed help, but there was no one there to help him. And the archers who shot bows and arrows shot their arrows into Yeshayahu. And he was dying. While he was closing his eyes on the battlefield, this great king who brought Yiddishkeit back to Klal Yisrael, as he was closing his eyes, dying, the Egyptians continued to shoot arrow after arrow into his body. Tzadahu b'samahu kimat taro l'chitzim. They trapped him and made him a target for their arrows. By Yizraku boy shleish meyot chitzim. And they shot him with 300 arrows. This is the only kina that actually Yirmiyahu says, Vayodikein Yirmiyahu Yishiyahu. This was a kina that I'm reading you that was written by Yirmiyahu himself. And here lay this great king, girls, this great king of Klal Yisrael, who turned us totally around in a battlefield with 300 arrows protruding from him. And he's dying. Kalim hitu achra v'oizim maitzei piyu. Yirmiyahu ran up to him and put his ear down to hear his final words. Ruach v'sav hitzav yipiyu tzadiku Hashem kimarisu piyu. And the last words that came out of his mouth was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are right, you are righteous. For I have disobeyed you, I didn't listen to you. Said Yirmiyahu on this great king, Tam kesef hatoyim hu b'fasham, the golden one Yoshio has died. Why has he died? Because of the sins of Klal Yisrael. Amzu b'fasham, because the sins of Klal Yisrael, by Yikonin Olam Kol Eicha Yuam. This is a very important kina for all of us. I spoke about it last night. It's a big mistake to deny what's really going on in Klal Yisrael. It's a big mistake to think that everything is beautiful and everything is good, because in your life everything is good. Yirmiyahu said to Yishayahu, Yishayahu, it's not good. They're doing things behind the doors that you don't know. And he said, I don't believe you. It can't be. We have to know what's going on behind the doors so that we can daven to Hashem, that we can change it. We have to know what's going on behind our doors, girls. It's not good enough just to serve Hashem on the outside. But what avodah zarah do we carry inside? And we make the mistake that this great king made. Nobody can hurt me. I'm not worried about going off the derech or doing things I'm not supposed to. And Yirmiyahu says, no. You have to look inside. You have to be worried. You have to defend yourself. You have to protect yourself. Don't trust the outside, what's going on. Look into the inside. And the great king, Yishayahu, with 300 arrows protruding, realized at that moment that maybe I should have sent my messengers inside the house. It wasn't good enough just getting rid of everything that's outside the house. Tzadiku Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right. Amzu b'fasham, this nation is sinning, and I didn't realize it. And this was the kinnis that Yirmiyahu said on this great tzadik. How many of our tzadikim are sick and suffering because of our sins, girls? How many gedolim did we lose in the last couple of years? How many tzaddikim? How many good women, tzidkaniyos, leaders, women leaders and men leaders have we lost? Amzu b'pasham, because of our sins. Yishayahu did not die because of his sins. He was a big tzaddik. Said Yirmiyahu, the gold has dimmed because of our sins. We don't have that many gedolim and tzaddikim left in this world. They suffer for our sins. Yirmiyahu warned us about this. We need to do tshuva. We need to change. Surya Hiruge Malchus, which I speak about every year. So the Surya Hiruge Malchus, which we say on Yom Kippur, interesting, on Yom Kippur, and we also say on Tisha B'Av, two of the holiest days of the year. Yom Kippur, we know how holy it is. Tisha B'Av, the day that Mashiach is born. Tisha B'Av, the worst day in our history and the best day in our history, because as we know, that any energy in the world, be it negative, if turned positive, is the greatest energy of all. Therefore, even though Tisha B'Av is now, Hashem said, forever and ever till Mashiach comes, it will be the worst day. You have cried for no reason. I'll give you a reason to cry. When this is changed and when this is turned, all this terror and all this negative energy will become positive. And Tisha B'Av will become a Yom Tov. We don't know how many of the other Yom Tovim will be when Mashiach comes, but Tisha B'Av will become a Yom Tov, because it can't be wiped out of this world. All the pain and all the fasting and all the negative energy that we suffer on Tisha B'Av will become positive energy, and that will be so powerful that even in the times of Mashiach, when we should be able to forget the destruction of the other Beis HaMikdash, seeing the third Beis HaMikdash, but the power of all the negative power becoming positive, that's what's going to give us our Yom Tov, B'Karayv. So in Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, there's one kina that we say on both days. There's only one. And that's the one of the 10 Hiruge Malchus, the 10 Tzaddikim that were killed for Klai Yisrael Daveros. Let me tell you a medrash, fascinating medrash, on the Asare Hiruge Malchus. We know that the 10 Asare Hiruge Malchus were killed because the brothers sold Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik was tested with Potiphar's wife. And because he had to go through that, 10 of the biggest tzaddikim who were equal to the 10 shvatim had to die. It's a very fascinating Rav Chaim Vital. And Rav Chaim Vital means down from the Sefer Gugulim, that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who died, was actually a Gilgal of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik didn't sell himself. And Rav Chaim Vital, who was a Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh, said the following. Potiphar's wife was very, very beautiful. And every day she tempted and tried to get Yosef to do an Avera with her. And Yosef HaTzadik said no. And then one day, she had her servants put a iron collar around his neck. And on this iron collar, there was a piece of metal that forced him to keep his head straight and look forward. And they locked it on his neck. And they made him look, she made him look at her. All the time, he was looking away, didn't want to look at her. But she had no choice. And he had to look at her. And Rav Chaim Vital says that Yosef HaTzadik, for 1 second, while he was forced to look at her, for 1 second thought about her. 1 second. Thought about what he was looking at. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to have to pay for that look. And he came back, said the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. We know that Yosef HaTzadik was the most beautiful man probably that was ever created. The Medrash brings down that Potiphar's wife was sick. And her friends asked her, why are you sick? She said, there's a man in my house that is so beautiful. And I can't get him and it makes me sick. And they laughed. They said, a Jewish man so beautiful? You can't find a beautiful man in Egypt? And the Medrash says she invited her friends to meet Yosef HaTzadik, and she put them in a circle. And she gave them esrogim, that's what they used to eat for snack. And she gave them knives to peel their esrogim. And then she paraded Yosef HaTzadik into the middle of the circle, says the Medrash. And they were in such awe of his beauty that the blood was running from their fingers. Instead of cutting their sregen, they were cutting the tops of their fingers. And she turned to them and she said, "You made fun of me. Look at all of you. You're in such awe of this man's beauty that you're cutting your fingers and you don't even realize it." So Yosef HaTzadik was a very, very beautiful person. Now let's see what happens in the Yom Kippur after Musaf. We say the following: Eile es karav nafshi alai eshbucha. When I think of this story, my heart cries. I'm not going to read it to you in Hebrew. I'm going to translate it. In the days of the king, he gathered 10 tzaddikim to kill. And this king was very smart, and he learned the Torah, and he called them into his room, and he filled up the room with shoes, and he called these 10 chachamim into his room, and he said, it says in the Torah, "V'gaynev ishu macharoy benimtza." Someone kidnaps somebody and he sells them and he's caught. Moisumas, he has to be put to death. So he asked these 10 rabbis, "What's the law? If someone kidnaps somebody and he's caught and he sells them and he's caught," and they said, "You have to kill him. Or may I not for him?" Said this king to them, "Is it not true that your forefathers, the Shvatim, sold their brother? And I don't see that they got killed or punished. And they sold it for shoes. And therefore, I have chosen you 10 to be punished instead of the 10 brothers. Because I know that from the time of the Shvatim, there hasn't been 10 like you." So he said, "In 3 days, you will all be killed." Zman didna lehem shleishi yamim. He gave them three days, and they decided. These were tzaddikim that could have killed the whole Rome in a moment. They knew all the shemas of malachim. They knew how to be mashbiya malachim. They knew how the names of Hashem. They had no problem getting away from this king. But they didn't know if this was a gezerah from Hashem. So they came to Rav Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Rav Chaim Vital brings down in his sefer, was a Gilgul of Yosef HaTzadik. And they said, "Go up to Shemayim to find out if this gezerah is from Hashem. For if it's just an anti-Semitic gezerah from the Goyim, we'll take care of them without a problem. But if it's from Hashem, we'll accept it." Tihi Rav Yishmael Atzmai. Rav Yishmael went to the mikvah. And he made himself tahar, and he said Hashem's name. And he went to Shemayim. And in Shemayim, he met the Malach who wears white. The Malach who wears white stands by the gate, by the front door, by the gate, by the curtain of Shemayim. And he said to him, "Is this an anti-Semitic gezerah edict, or is this from Hashem?" And the Malach said, "You have to accept this, my tzaddikim, my loved ones, because I heard from behind the curtain, because this is what has to happen." He came down and he told the other 9, "Mamar Kel, this is what Hashem wants to happen." And the king, the Belial, the king said, "Okay, let's kill them. Let's take out the first 2. Who were the first 2? Rav Yishmael, Kohen Gadol, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who was the Nasi of Yisrael. It's brought down. If you could imagine the scene, Rav Yishmael, Kohen Gadol, went into a bed. He closed his eyes, he said certain words, and he went He gave his neshama to go to Shemayim to find out if this was Gzeira. When he got to Shemayim, he was so holy that the Malachim would not allow him to come back down. He said, Rabbi Shmuel, you can't go back down to the world. We want you here. And he couldn't go back down. He didn't even want to go back down. He was on such a high level. And here, all these nine Rabbanim, Tzaddikim, are standing there waiting for an answer, and he doesn't come out of his trance. Because the Malachim are not letting him back. Rabbi Akiva was there. He said, I know how to get him back. And they went and they found an Isha Nida, and they took from her her scarf, and they put the scarf on the bed that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was on. And when that scarf touched the bed, the Malachim in Shemayim took Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol's neshama, and they threw it out of Shemayim, and they said, an Isha Nida, the scarf is on his bed, it doesn't belong up here. And that's how they brought him back to this world. And girls are asking me, what's wrong with Shemayim Negia? Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch Shemayim Negia? What's the big deal, Rabbi? Rabbi Akiva understood that the scarf of Anida on the bed, not even touching the Kohen Gadol, just touching the bed. And the Malachim said, we don't want him here. Allah has come of a kama, surely. The touch of Anida, what does that do to the neshama of that girl and of that boy? Doesn't have to say it in Shulchan Aruch, even though it does. We have to understand that we don't understand the Kedusha, the holiness of every Jew and of every girl. And Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol's neshama came back to this world, and he told the other tzaddikim, there's nothing we can do. This is what Hashem wants. So they turned Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and each one said, kill me first. And the king said, let's do a lottery. And the lottery fell on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, to pour his blood out like the blood of a cow. And they cut off his head. Netolai, Kohen Gadol, Rav Shmuel, Kohen Gadol took his head. Mitzorach Olav. And the Medrash says he put his mouth to the mouth of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's head. Mitzorach Olav Kikol Marv Kishayfar. And he began to scream as loud as a shofar, and he said, "Hey, Halosha, where is the mouth? I'm a Maharis Lahiris B'imrei Shofar. Where is the mouth that said all this Torah and all this greatness? Baboy Nois, because of our sins, Eichat Talichach as a Sa'afar. How could it be that this great tzaddik, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, his mouth is now in the dust?" And the daughter of the king heard what was going on. She came into the room and she saw Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara says, we don't understand what this means, but since Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was a Gilgul of Yosef HaTzadik, the Gemara says that the Malachim from Shemayim came down to see his face. And when they saw his face, they said, his face has the beauty of God. That's how beautiful he was. The beauty of the Shekhinah. And when this Goyish girl saw the beauty of this Jewish rabbi's face, she fell in love with him, and she came to her father, and she said, I want this man, he's so beautiful. And her father said, why? She said, because he has such a beautiful face. He said, no problem, I'll peel the skin off his face and I'll stuff it, and I'll put it in your room, so you'll be able to look at him for the rest of your life. And she agreed. She said that would be a great idea. And she begged her father, please peel the skin off his face and stuff it so I could look at it for the rest of my life. And he had no problem doing this. They peeled the skin off his face. They started with his chin upwards. When they came to the place of his tefillin, he began to scream till his neshama went out. And the rabbis asked, why didn't he scream when they started peeling from his chin up? Because it didn't bother Yishmael Chaim Gadol that they were peeling the skin off his face. But once he had no skin on his forehead, there was nowhere to put his tefillin. And if there was nowhere to put his tefillin, why should he live? Girls, do we understand what a Jew is? They were peeling the skin off his face, it didn't matter. But when they came to the place of his tefillin, he screamed and his neshama left. How many thousands, how many millions Jewish men? Nobody's peeling the skin off their face. They don't put on tefillin. How many of our brothers and cousins don't put on tefillin? And it brings down. And that's why Rav Chaim Vital brings it down. He says that was the tikkun for Yosef HaTzadik for that 1 second. And he says that this princess who had the skin peeled off his face was the Gilgul of Potiphar's wife. And she came back and she said, he looked at me for a second. So in turn, me, the connected me, that I want to be able to look at him forever. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misaking what he did. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol died and was misaking what happened by Yosef. That's for looking for 1 second. For 1 second, being forced and just thinking about what you're looking at. Girls, how careful we have to be what we look at in the newspapers and on the internet. We don't understand the neshama that we have, how great it is, but there's consequence. Safi Malatoku Bimara. Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol died. The Malachim began to scream at Shemayim. Zutayra Vizuzchayra. Hashem, this is your Torah, and this is your reward. Your enemies destroying your children, and you're allowing this to happen. Atzabasko b'shamayim, Hashem answered to his malachim, in eshma kol acher, if I hear another word, ahapach asa'ayim l'mayim, I will turn the whole world into water. The Sayyid will fly you into void. I will destroy the whole world. Gezerah Yimel Lefonai. It's a Gezerah. Kabluha, accept it. And one by one, they took out the leaders of Klai Yisrael and they killed him. The next one they took out was Rabbi Akiva. We all know what Rabbi Akiva gave up for, to become what he was. And they took an iron rake and they raked him to death. And as he was dying from his wounds, his talmidim walked up to him and said, Rebbe, tell us something. And Rebbe Akiva turned to his students and said, Baruch Hashem, my whole life I was worried, how would I keep what we say in Kriyashma, U'b'chol, Nafshecha, I gave Hashem my heart. I gave Hashem my money. But how am I going to give Hashem my soul, the Kiddush Hashem? I always wanted to die, the Kiddush Hashem. Baruch Hashem. I died, the Kiddush Hashem. And they took out Rav Hanani Batrajain. And they burnt him alive. But they wanted him to suffer. So they took cotton and they soaked it in cold water. And they put it around his heart so that he would die slowly. I want to read you. I don't remember the name. I have the sefer here. But with him, the man that was killing him, the executioner, was a guy. And he asked the executioner to please remove the cotton from him, from his heart, so that he would die early. And he did it. And he jumped this person, I don't have his name, it's not really that important, but he jumped in, this Roman, after he took this off the rabbi's heart, jumped into the fire with him. And a baskol came out and said that the rabbi is in Gan Eden and that this guy who jumped in is also in Gan Eden with him. And we see from there that even one second of a person having pity on another person can bring that person into Gan Eden. Here's where it says it. Rav Hanina was burnt together with the Sefer Torah. And his daughter was crying for her father. And he said, "Don't cry for me. I'm being burnt, you don't have to worry about it." But they're burning the Torah. Who will get revenge for the burning of the Torah? And his Talmidim ran up to him and they said, "Rebbe, what do you see?" And he said, "The Torah is burning, but the letters are flying away. Nobody can burn the letters." And they said, "Rebbe, open up your mouth. Inhale the fire. It will end your suffering." And he turned to his Talmidim and he said, "Hashem, who gave me my soul, he'll take it from me. He doesn't need my help." And when Ramchanina's agony reached its peak, the executioner, whose name was Kustanari, said, "Rabbi, if I increase the flame and remove the pads from your chest, will you bring me into the next world?" And Ramchanina said, "I will." And he said, "Rabbi, swear to me." He said, "I swear." Putting his hands into the fire, Kustanari pulled the pads from the rabbi's chest. And in the same motion, threw fresh branches on the fire. In an instant, Rav Hanina ben Chanyan was dead. Kustanari jumped into the fire, and before anyone could do anything, he too was dead. He had seen the greatness of this rabbi, and he wanted to be at his side. At that moment, a baskol from Shemayim came out and said, "Rav Hanina ben Chanyan and Kustanari are both in the world to come." Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who was 13 years old, watching this, began to cry. He said, "Some people get into Olam Haba in an instant. Others have to work for it all their lives." Boy, this year, it's a little bit different for me, this whole Tisha B'Av. After seeing what I saw, very different. Why don't our children see what this guy saw? Why don't they see the greatness of our rabbis? Why don't they see the greatness of our Torah? This was an executioner, girls. You know what an executioner in Rome was? He was a killer, a murderer. He chopped people's heads, children, women. He killed people all day and all night, Jews, non-Jews. He was an executioner. That's what he did. And there was one man in his whole life that he met that after meeting Chanina ben Tranjam, he said, I got to jump into the fire with you, man. It's so holy. I can't be outside the fire during the fire. I got to jump in with you. What can I do for you? A goy. And he jumped in. Where are we? It was so far from this guy. Who's running around saying, I want to be close to Rabbi, I want to be close to Kedusha, I want to be close to my parents, to my grandparents. Who's jumping in the fire with us? Everybody's turning and walking away. Let it burn. Let it burn. A goy met a rabbi and was so amazed. A Roman executioner that he jumped into the fire with him. It's a very, very sad kinna. There are many sad kinnas. This is one of the saddest. And I don't have to go through all 10, but all of them were killed in a very bad way. Rav Chutz Pirzame Tugumana, he was the one who translated what all the tzaddikim said. They cut out his tongue, and they threw his tongue into the street, and dogs were running with his tongue. And Klal Yisrael asked, how could the tongue of such a tzaddik be eaten by dogs? It was the averus of Klal Yisrael that all these tzaddikim suffered. Interesting thought that I saw. It says that from the time that the 10 brothers sold Yosef, the Satan stands in front of Hashem and wants revenge. He wants revenge. It says in the Torah, you have to kill them. Why did it take all the way till then for this to happen? Why did it take all the way till the second Beis Hamikdash, after the burning of the second Beis Hamikdash, for these 10 tzaddikim to be picked to be killed? Why didn't it happen all the years in between? And the answer is, what was the aveira of selling their brother? Sinas chinam. Hatred between one Jew and another. The Satan couldn't get in until we did that ourselves. In the second Beis Hamikdash, when we didn't get along with each other, Kamtzer, my Kamtzer, you are invited, you're not invited. What are you doing at my party? I didn't invite you. I made a wedding. I didn't invite you. You're not supposed to be here. What's going on? I made a Kiddush and Shul. I don't want you here. I'm going out with my friends. Don't call her. Yes, call her, but don't call her. Make sure she doesn't know. Tell her we didn't go. That's what happened in the second Beis Hamikdash. So the Sultan came in front of Hashem and said, now it's time to pay. Because you haven't sinned against him again, just like your brothers had. Now I want my pay. I want 10 like the Shvatim. In the first Beis Hamikdash, it didn't happen. It happened when there was sinas chinam. The kitrik, the accusation of the Satan against Klal Yisrael, is only Bein Adam L'Chavero, girls. Bein Adam L'Mokim, what we do to Hashem, Hashem, being he's the one who's hurt, has the right to say, I forgive. I'm Michael then. So when the Satan comes in front of Hashem and says, they're going to parties, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing that. Hashem said, that's an aveira to me. Get out of here. I'm on my kisei rachamim. I'm not listening to anything you have to say. I'm their father. I say, amnesty. Right? President of the United States can give it. Hashem Shacholi can give it. A pardon. Slach lanu, kapra lanu, mechal lanu. Hashem says, I pardon. But when we hurt each other, Hashem cannot sit on his kisei rachamim. He cannot pardon for anybody else. And therefore, the Satan waited until the second Beis Hamikdash, till there was this sinas chinam between us. And that's when he was able to destroy the 10 leaders of Klal Yisrael. There's a Chafetz Chaim video, and there's a lot of talk about Lashon Hara. And the reason that there's so much emphasis on this is because Bein Adam L'Chaver, between how we treat each other, Hashem has no answer for that. And how we treat our parents, Hashem has no answer for that. And when the Malach goes up and the Sultan goes up and he says, she made her mother cry, now you're going to have to make her cry, Hashem has no answer for that. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ben ish l'ishto, between a husband and a wife, just looked up, I think it's a Gemara, 2 weeks ago. Right, I was looking for a Gemara on a different subject, and I found a Gemara. The Gemara says the most dangerous thing in the world is for a husband to make his wife cry. It's a Gemara. Because the tears of a woman, those gates are always open. Whether they're good tears or they're bad tears. And the Gemara warns the husband and says, be careful how you treat your wife. For if you make her cry, because Baruch Hu's vengeance will rain down upon you. Because the gate of tears is always open. It's a famous Gemara. How many women are crying? How many agunas? How many women are crying in Klal Yisrael because of their husbands? How many mothers are crying because of their children? When I learned this Gemara, I said, oy, 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 oy. The Gemara talks about a husband causing his wife to cry, because the Gemara doesn't even imagine of a child causing his mother to cry. What does Hashem do with the tears of a mother that sits up at night because her daughter doesn't come home when she's supposed to, or because her daughter doesn't talk to her anymore? Those gates are open and they're never closed. What does Hashem do with those tears? Girls, you're going to have to pay for it. You or your children or your grandchildren. But somebody's going to have to pay for the tears of our parents, of our fathers and our mothers. Those are tears that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can't wipe away. It's a very sad story in Kinnis about a brother and a sister. It's very connected to the story I just told you about Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. There's DNA, physical and spiritual. I'm going to end with this. In the art scroll, it's on page 266. And it says the following. There were two children that were captured. There were two children that were captured in the time of the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed by the Romans. And they fell to two different masters. The way the Medrash says, one was a woman of ill repute. She took the girl. And there was a man who owned the store. He took the boy. But it just said there were two different masters. And they lived right next to each other. And they met in the street. And the woman said to the man, I have the most gorgeous Jewish girl. I never saw such a beautiful girl in my life. I heard that you have a boy in your house, a Jew, a captive. And he said, you think you have a beautiful Jewish girl? I have the most beautiful Jewish boy you ever saw in your life in my house. And he said, okay, we'll make a deal. Tonight we'll put the two of them in a room together. We'll turn off the lights. That's a boy and a girl. You know what's going to happen. And when she gets pregnant, that she has a child, we'll sell the child, and we'll share the money. And of course, a beautiful girl like this and a beautiful boy like this, the children are going to be gorgeous. And we'll get a lot of money for that child. So they went ahead. And they took the two of them. And they put them in a room together. And they turned off the lights. And they waited outside, the woman and the man, to see what's going to happen. I'll read you the end of the kinnah. And the girl stood in her corner. And she stood in her corner and cried. And he stood in his corner and cried. What did he say? He said, I am a child of Aharon. How could I be with a maidservant? How could I be with a boy? How could I be with a girl? I come from Aaron, I call Aim. And she in her corner was crying and she said, I am the daughter of Yocheved. I am a Bas Kayin. How could I be with a boy? woe to me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that I should be in this room together with him. And it says that the constellations in Shemayim cried. When the sun came up, he turned and she turned and they saw each other. And she screamed to him, "Brother!" And he screamed to her, "Sister!" For they were both the children of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. And that's why they were so beautiful. They were the children of this great Kohen Gadol, that his skin was peeled off for this Goyisha princess's entertainment. In the same room, the daughter and the son of the Kohen Gadol. And they ran to each other and they embraced each other. And they cried to Hashem that nothing should happen. And they hugged each other and they became one. Till their souls left them and they died. Says Yirmiyahu, "Lizais yikainin Yirmiyahu b'shiyahu." For this I will always, always, always weep. Al ben ubas mispar rav ar ima. For the son and the daughter I will weep. The son of the Kohen Gadol and the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. Within a house on Motzei Shabbos, and the daughters of God and the sons of God were in that house, but they weren't in the separate corners, and they weren't crying on the Son of Hashem, the daughter of Hashem. How could I be here? Because they don't know who they are. How we have fallen. We are all the children of Hashem. Why didn't they run out and say, "I am the son of Hashem, I am the daughter of Hashem. What am I doing in such a place? What am I doing in Kayah Michelin's? I am the daughter of Hashem. What am I doing in a pool hall in Monticello? Said. We have to daven to Hashem, everybody. These are our sisters. Shabbos Nachmu is coming. Tisha B'Av is a bump in the road. Just can't wait till it's over. So we can get to Shabbos Nachmu. So we could go party. That's not a Nachamu to Hashem, girls. Why is it always about us? Are we in so much pain on Tisha B'Av and the 9 days and the 3 weeks that we need to party on Shabbos Nachamu? Who needs the Nechama on Shabbos Nachamu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a Nechama on Shabbos Nachamu. So what do? We go to hotels and we go to comedies and we go to parties and we go to concerts and we hang out and we chill. And on Shabbos afternoon we make a Tisha B'Av question. Not enough that the ninth day of Tisha B'Av is a Tisha B'Av question. But we take the Shabbos and we make that Shabbos also a Tisha B'Av question. Stand up! And you tell anybody that wants to touch you or bother you, and you tell them, I am the daughter of the Kohen Gadol of the world. I am the daughter of Hashem. Get away from me now. Shabbos Nachamu is a Shabbos to understand what we lost. And Shabbos Nachamu is a time, Nachemu Nachamu Ami, Hashem says, is to realize what we have. I had a friend that lost all his money. He said to me, I lost all my money, but I'm still alive. And then I know someone, they cut off his leg because he was diabetic, and he said, it's okay, they only cut one of my legs off, I still have one. Shabbos Nachamu, after Tisha B'Av, after crying about everything that we lost, comes Shabbos Nachamu to say, we lost the Beis HaMikdash, but we still have the Torah. And as that great tzaddik said when he was dying, he said, you can destroy my Torah, but you can't destroy the letters of the Torah. You can destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but you cannot destroy what the Beis HaMikdash stood for. And that's in all of us. And that's what Shabbos Nachamu was supposed to be. It's not a party time. It's not a time to make a Tisha B'Av for Hashem again. Hashem has had enough Tisha B'Avs. It's a time to celebrate that we still have our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we still have a Torah, and we still have a Shabbos, and we still have Tzniyos. One other short subject before I go. The Gemara says a story. Lahadil, the straw that broke, as you say, the camel's back. A story where Hashem was patient. But when this story happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, that's it. Everything's going to be destroyed. So the story that's brought down in the Gemara, I'll say it very short. There was a man, he was married. He had a very beautiful wife. He had a good marriage, he thought. And he had a servant that was working for him who loved his wife, who wanted his wife, but he was a servant. And he waited, for his time to get to this woman. And what happened? One day, the master, who was paying the servant all the time, he needed money, so he went to the servant and said, listen, I need to borrow $500, I'm going into a business, whatever it is. I need to borrow $500. And the servant said, listen, I have it, but it's in my house. Send your wife to my house. He said, okay. He sent his wife to the house. And the servant started talking to her, she started talking to him. And to make a long story short, she also liked him. And he said, listen, I'm going to lock you up in my house for 3 days. And we're going to work this whole thing out. La halacha. We're going to do this la halacha. Okay? So after 3 days, the guy's wife don't come back. He runs to the servant, he says to the servant, my wife never came back, you know where she went? He said, come here, let me talk to you. He says, you know, we're very close, me and you. Says, after your wife left my house, I wanted to see where she would go. She went into the bar. And I heard her laughing and playing around with all the guys. And she definitely did things she wasn't supposed to, and you probably have to divorce her, and you probably have to get rid of her. He says, I hear you, but how am I going to, I don't have money for a ksuva. You know, it's another $500, it's written in a ksuva. I don't have the money, I just borrowed $500 from you to go into a business. He said, hey, you know, we're friends, we're very close. I'll give you money for the ksuva. You better go get it, get. So the man, listen, after getting such a thing, he went, and he got a get. Went to bed, and he got a get. He divorced his wife. Of course, the minute the wife got divorced, she went back to the servant's house. This poor guy, now he's without a wife. And the guy said, don't worry, I'll find you. Shidduchim, you have nothing to worry about. I'm your friend. And he tried, his business failed, didn't do well. He came back, he didn't know where his wife was. That's it, he was divorced. He went back to the servant, his original servant. He said, listen, my business failed, I need money. He said, listen, I don't have any more money to lend you, but you know what, you can come work for me. You can come work for me. I'm doing very well right now. Come work for me. I'll hire you only because I like you. I'll pay you a crazy amount of money. I'll pay you $500 for the year or whatever it was. Come, and you'll be my waiter, my, you know, my butler, my waiter, my cook, and I'll take good care. And the guy says, you know what, you're such a nice guy. You really care about me, that you're not letting me out there to starve. You have such a hakaras hatov. So tomorrow. So he goes into the kitchen, and he prepares supper for this guy, his servant, prepares a beautiful supper with beautiful dishes. He's all excited. He's got a job. He's going to make his money back. And the Gemara says he comes walking into the dining room, and sitting with this servant is his wife. And he stands there, and there's sitting his wife and his servant, and he's shaking. The Gemara says he has two cups of wine in his hand, and he's shaking. And she turns to him. She says, "You old fool! Look what we did to you. Me and him, from the day I met him, I loved him. Now, you're going to see me every day with him together. And not only that, you're going to make my bed that we're going to sleep in. You're going to clean my clothing. You're going to serve us." And the Gemara says that a tear from the side of this man's eye fell into the cup of wine. And when the tear hit the cup of wine, it said the world shook. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "If this is where Klal Yisrael is, I don't want that." And Hashem wrote the Gzeira to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and everything. Now the Gemara starts off this story by saying that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we kept halacha. We kept the din. And the Gemara asks, you kept the din, you kept halacha, that's what you're supposed to do. And the Gemara answers, listen to the end of the story. So this man was beyond himself. Look what they did to him. And he ran to Beis Din. And he took this servant with him to Beis Din. He said, "I'm taking you to Beis Din. The whole get that I gave, the whole divorce, was wasn't true what he told me. And the whole situation." And the guy got up in front of Beis Din and he said, "She was in my house for 3 days. It's Gemara says. In my house for 3 days, they didn't touch her. I was shaymin again, I didn't touch her. Until she was divorced, they didn't touch her. I remarried her. She got a get. I had Jewish nesuim. I went and made a wedding like everyone else. I didn't do anything wrong. He owes me money. He's working for the money. Rabbis! Did I do anything halachically wrong?" And he said, "No. You didn't do anything halachically wrong." And he walked out of bed and laughing. And the Gemara says, that's why Klal Yisrael was destroyed. Because they forgot the fifth book of Shulchan Aruch. They forgot they did something wrong when you hurt somebody's feelings, when you do things like this. Even if it doesn't say in the book, that's the text message I get all the time in the email. Rabbi Wallstein, show me where it says it. It's not about show me where it says it. It's the fifth book of Shulchan Aruch. It's feelings. It's another person's feelings. And therefore Chazal says Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Why does Hashem say, maybe they'll do tshuva? Okay, they're pretty bad right now. Maybe they'll do tshuva. And the answer is that if you don't think you're doing anything wrong, you'll never do tshuva. And therefore, since this door knew how to learn, and did all their crooked and garbage stuff that they pulled off. La halacha, I didn't touch her for 3 days. I waited until she got divorced. La halacha. Hashem knew they're never going to come back. We're going through this same thing in our generation. There's a lot of things we do la halacha, which are wrong. Kruda bas melech benima girls. Your beauty is your tznius. There are couples that go out together once a week to eat. That leads to this. Show me in Shulchan Aruch where it says that two couples can't go out every week to eat together. I can't show it to you. That's not what Hashem wants. That a woman and her husband should go out every week with another woman and her husband, because what happens? She looks across the table and she says, you know, her husband is much nicer than mine. He understands her. He has patience for her. And then she begins to talk to the other husband. And she's just telling him about her problems with her husband. And since it's his friend, maybe he could help. And she gets emotionally involved with her friend's husband. And before you know it, the biggest averis that are possible happen. And I told this to someone that was in a situation. He said, show me the halacha where it says that a couple can't go out with another couple every week. Can't show it to you. Tznius. Think beforehand. How old was that little boy? 2 years, 6 months? 6 hours and a half? He got it. He turned to the king and said, I got it. I'm a Jewish kid. The brother and sister got it. Before they knew they were brother and sister, she stood in a corner. She wouldn't turn around. She said, I'm the daughter of a Kohen. I'm not selling myself. You are the daughters of God. Don't sell yourself for anybody, for anything. Don't lower yourself. And if we don't lower ourselves and we act like the daughters of God, the end last night of Eicha, we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Yimeinu Kikedem. I was speaking to a rabbi last night, one of the rabbis that went with me into these places, Motzei Shabbos, and I said to him, interesting pasuk. We end, Hashiveinu Hashem Elech, we say it twice. Bring us back to you, Hashem. Then Hashuva, then we'll return. Why doesn't it say, Hashem, we're going to return to you? And the answer is, that we're not on that level anymore. We're not going to Hashem. Everybody's running away from Him. We can't get 15 girls to get up and say, Hashem loves me. We're running away from Him. So I feel that Hashem is, catch us and bring us back. And then, with Hashuva, Hashem, we're not strong enough. We're weak, we're tired, we're hungry. We're not strong enough to come to you. Hashem, come to us. But we promise you, if you come to us, we'll come back to you. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Yimeinu Kikedem. My bracha is the last line in Rav Chaim, in the Sefer of Rav Chaim Vital. And he says the following. V'nira le'niyas dati, it seems, with the lack of my knowledge, or shamati, that I heard from my Rebbe, the Arizal. Why? It's now 10 to 1. Why? I'm sorry, Rabbi Lamb. Why at 1:40 will everybody get up? Why will everyone get out of their chairs? Or actually, earlier than 1:40, after Chatzos. And the Arizal says the following. Ki b'minchas tes ba'av, because at mincha time, which is 1:30, on Tisha B'av, Noelad HaMashiach. Mashiach will be born. Hanikra Menachem, who will be called Menachem. It's already past Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael. The fast is almost over. If he isn't born yet, then Kodesh Baruch Hu bring forth Mashiach Mincha time today. Thank you.